I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know we have our friend Than Bennett on the show for what we call a faith perspective from the Hill. Than serves as the Director for Government Affairs for the ACLJ, and so he kind of works in the epicenter of politics. And I always know, and Than is always aware of this too, that when we address some of the issues that we do on this particular show, it can trigger angst and frustration. And, you know, I love my producers, Angie and Kim. They're such godly women, and they really pray such powerful prayers before the show. And Angie just prayed that our hearts would be open to what God wants to say in and through all of us, right? And I'm just praying that we can open our hearts and our hands and say, Lord, we believe that you are leading and guiding us in this day. We understand everybody has differing opinions. Can we walk with unity? It doesn't have to mean conformity, but show mutual respect and honor for one another. And I'm just asking for your grace as we navigate through these conversations and these topics. We have hearts that love God. We love His Word. We all know in part, so we all are seeing some things, maybe a little off at times. But all that said, if we don't talk about this, and then who will, right? And so we want to bring a faith perspective as best we can. So some of the things we're going to talk about today, one is the latest on the vaccine mandate, hence the caveat, because I know it's a hot topic. What's the update from the Hill on the mandate? But then how do we navigate our differences around this issue without vilifying each other, calling each other names, and being so sure that one side is right and the other side is all wrong? And the March for Life is coming up this weekend. Also, what is our role as believers when it comes to stewarding our rights and our responsibilities? How can we love our fellow believers who see things differently than we do? We recently celebrated Martin Luther King Day, the only national holiday attributed to a preacher. How awesome is that? Is the world that Martin Luther King envisioned, are we living in that world? What's our role in helping society heal? We're going to get Than on in just a moment. A quick note, though, we are partnering with an amazing organization called One Child, and our prayer, our hope is to get over 250 children sponsored. It's an amazing ministry. If you hop on our website, myfaithradio.com, and you even click on the button Sponsor Child, that doesn't mean you're committing to sponsoring, but it gives you just pages of these beautiful children where you can learn a little bit more about them. And $39 a month, you can really change the trajectory of a child's life. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Than Bennett is the Director of Government Affairs for the American Center for Law and Justice. He's a regular on-air contributor for the daily syndicated radio broadcast, J Secular Live. He's the author of In Search of the King and My Fame, His Fame. Than and his wife, Brooke, live in Fort Washington, Maryland with their three beautiful children. And I want you to know, thanks to Than's incredible generosity, we've got copies of both My Fame, His Fame and In Search of the King. And you can text the word book to get in on the drawing if you'd like to specify which book you'd like. Go ahead and do that. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And if you've got questions around what's going on today in the world of politics, what's going on in our nation and even other places in the world, text them in and I'll do my best to weave those in as well. 877-933-2484. Than, my dear brother, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Susie, my friend, thanks for having me back. And wow, Angie, I tell you what, this is why I love coming on with you guys so much, because we need to be a community with each other, tackling hard issues with grace and love. So I'm just thrilled to be back with you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And you know, because you've been on so many times, we love to just start personal. What has the Lord been speaking to you about these days?
Yeah, I love this segment, Susie. And I've just had really precious time with God in the first few days of 2022. Our family, actually, like so many others, we contracted COVID over the Christmas holiday, Susie. And so that wasn't a lot of fun. But, you know, one thing it did do is it forced a few things off of our calendar. And I think it really honestly provided some extra, maybe just sweetness, if you will, with my time with God. And there was a verse that just kept coming back to my spirit. It was Isaiah 55:12. And this is a chapter that describes someone who is desperate for God. Verse 1 actually describes it as someone who is thirsty for God. But then verse 12 describes what that person who is desperate for God is going to look like. And this is what it says. It says, "You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands." And Susie, I'm just so encouraged by that, because how much does this world throw at us, right? Especially these last couple of years. And there's been a temptation to lose heart. But we serve a God who is so far above and beyond all of that. And I was just reminded over you know, a trying month, that if our focus is on being desperate to being with him, and honestly, to being more like him, then our lives are going to be marked with joy and with peace. And the mountains and the hills and the trees, they're going to rejoice around us, Susie, because of his presence.
That is beautiful. It's just why I asked this question, even as you're referencing the passage and the idea that the trees clap their hands. I mean, the whole earth is filled with his glory. And one of the passages I ponder often is that all of creation groans, like groans for the day when God reveals who his children really are. You know, I always say heaven knows who's who in the zoo, right? mean, there's a day coming. And in the meantime, we live faithfully and humbly, and we love each other well. And that's what I appreciate so much about having you on, Than, because we tackle tough topics and do our best to steward them with humility and grace. And before we get into some of the, you know, just updates from the hill, you were praying before coming on the show, and you got a sense from the Lord about something. Would you share that?
Yeah, I really did, Susie. You know, I always try to go to the Lord in prayer a few minutes before we come on together and just ask him what he would have for people. And, you know, I know that probably most of your listeners already have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but I really felt him speak to my spirit that there's going to be someone listening today, someone out there who does not yet have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we have these conversations, I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me that there is going to be a person that is going to want to do that. And so just maybe at the outset, I wanted to offer to that one person who might say, you know, I want to know Jesus. I want to tell that person, Susie, that he wants to know you too. And if we look at the book of Romans, it's a very simple process. When Jesus speaks to your heart, it's a very simple process for giving your life over to him. We have to acknowledge that we're a sinner. I'm a sinner, Susie, and I know that. I recognize that. But I have made a decision to do the two things that Romans says that we have to do to begin a relationship with Jesus. I have believed in my heart, and I've confessed with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord, and that has made my eternity secure. So I thought maybe, Susie, with your indulgence, could I just say a prayer for that person that might be out there?
Okay. And friends, real quick, if you don't mind, you know, maybe you're listening and you maybe had a false sense of security. You were thinking your entrances to heaven is your grandma's faith, your particular denomination. But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as they say, God has no grandchildren. And maybe you'd like to know today for certain that if Jesus were to return tomorrow, that you would be in the throng of witnesses as one belonging to him. But maybe, too, you've wandered from the faith. So after Than prays, I want to hear from you. If that was you, will you let us know, yes, I'd wandered, or yes, I made that decision for the first time? We won't bother you. We're not going to give your information. We just want to know, was this for you? We would love to know. But please, Than, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. If that's you out there, as I pray this prayer, just pray these words or something similar in your own words to God. Father God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know and am grateful, so grateful that you loved me to the point that you sent your son to pay a price that was mine to pay, Father. I acknowledge my guilt. I thank you for sending your son. I believe on his name, the name of Jesus Christ. And today I confess with my mouth, I profess my belief that my salvation, my eternity is secure because I've believed upon your son. I give my life over to him, over to you, and I give it to you for the rest of my days. Thank you again for sending your son. I welcome him into my life, and I give my life over to him from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If that was you, first of all, you can text the word faith to 41224 if you want some helpful resources. Text the word faith to 41224. But if it's you and you want to let us know, I won't see that text. That doesn't go directly to us, but we'll get you some resources. But if you've been wandering from the faith, or you prayed along with Than because you want to know for certain, and now you do know because the Spirit of God has taken up residence in your soul, will you just text us and let us know? 877-933-2484. My good buddy Steve said amen and amen. And this is the joy, I would say, of walking with God. We have the Spirit of God in us, and He nudges us. There's times, I don't know about you, but sometimes you feel the inner wince because maybe you say something or think something or go somewhere. That is the gift of the Spirit of God, guiding, guarding, protecting, providing. What an honor it is to be counted among God's children. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll talk more with Than about what's going on in D.C., what's going on in the world, what's going on in our nation. And we come before you and before God with humble hearts, saying, Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth, in us, as it is in heaven. We'll be back in a minute.
We are
hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to our good friend Than Bennett. He is the Director of Government Affairs for American Center for Law and Justice. He's a good friend of Faith Radio. In fact, Lord willing, he'll be filling in for me in April when I'm gone for about a week. I'm super excited about that. So he's more than a guest. He's a dear friend to the family of Faith Radio and to Kevin and I personally. And so we're drawing from his book today, My Fame, His Fame, Aiming Your Life and Influence Toward the Glory of God. And we'll get into some of that in a bit. But I say so because we've got a handful of copies to give away, both that book and his book, In Search of the King. If you want in on the drawing, you want a good book, these are both good books, text the word book to 877-933-2484. So we're going to get into some of the topics that you sent over, Than, but just from a 30,000-foot view as you live or work, I should say, in the epicenter of politics, what's the overall feel in D.C. at the moment?
Well, that's a good question, Suzy. I mean, unfortunately, I think the feeling in D.C. has been one of division for, honestly, a number of years now. I mean, I think there is a feel that there's not a whole lot of desire on either side of the aisle to work together. And I think there is a feeling of stagnation, to be very honest with you. I mean, no matter what your views are, whatever your priorities may be, there's not a whole lot at this moment that's moving through the city. But maybe if I could, the church that I belong to, it's Pastor Mark Batterson's church, National Community Church. Actually, tonight, Suzy, we are beginning what we're calling a revival series, praying for unification in our nation and for the church really to lead our way out of this cultural situation that we find ourselves in. And, you know, when I was thinking about what that looks like for the church, I really was drawn back to this idea that all of us desire, Suzy, for our nation and our culture to be consecrated, but that just doesn't happen by force. And I think about Haggai chapter 2. This is a chapter where he talked about this. He talked about how consecration doesn't get forced on people. It doesn't happen at the tip of a spear. And by the way, it's the same with salvation, right? That's a free gift that we accept for it to have any value. But the consecration of a nation, Suzy, happens when we, his people, consecrate ourselves. The culture sees that, desires it, and chooses it. And the reason I bring that up in the context of your question is I think there's a temptation a lot of times to look to Washington, D.C. and say, how are they going to lead us out of it? And Suzy, that's not how it's going to happen. The stagnation that we have maybe in our nation right now, we're going to be led out of that when we, God's people, consecrate ourselves to Him. The culture sees it, and the culture insists that they want what we have. That's how it's going to happen.
Praise God and amen. Somebody give me an amen. You know, the scripture talks about mercy triumphs over judgment. Years ago, I did a study on that, and judgment really is to make an assessment, a final assessment, to come to a final verdict about someone. It's kind of that whole thing of putting a period at the end of a sentence that God is still writing. And Than, one of the things that's so heartbreaking to me is in the body of Christ, based on our political opinions and the division that is just infiltrated, we feel, you know, justified in deciding, making assumptions and decisions, and even rendering verdicts against others. And scripture says, you know, the measure you use will be used against you. And what you sow is what you grow. So Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Help us to walk mercy. I want mercy. You know, I want mercy. When, you know, someone is has it in their power to punish or whatever, I want mercy. I want God's mercy. And you know, we're not under our circumstances. We're in the mercies of God, and they're new every morning. Man, if we could do exactly what you're saying, Fan, what a difference that would be.
Yeah, and you know, Susie, I want to be quick to say there, I'm not suggesting that everything is going to be peaceful or kumbaya or that there's no fight for truth, because there absolutely is. I mean, you know, all opinions are not morally equal, right? There is an absolute truth, and we are required to stand for it. But I just feel so deep in my soul, Susie, that the freedom for truth to prevail, what is required for that? It requires an atmosphere that actually has diverse opinion in it, because what that allows is for morally sound ideas to be compared against those that are not morally sound, and for them to rise to the top on their merits rather than just by blunt force. And so, you know, those of us that want to stand for truth in culture, Susie, we should actually be celebrating when those ideas, biblical truths that we know are sound and eternal, get contrasted against those that are not true, that are not sound, because in the end, we know that they will prevail. So we shouldn't be out to crush that diversity or those who differ with truth. We should actually want that contrast, because we know it won't return void.
Very, very good. Okay, so here, let's dive in. Give us the latest on the vaccine mandate. And a listener texted in a follow-up question around the Supreme Court's disappointing decision, she says, the second decision about healthcare workers. So maybe start with just the overall updates, if you would.
Okay, sure. Now that we've talked about needing diverse opinions, we'll jump right back into the issue.
Sorry for the whiplash. Here we go.
Right. Now, look, I mean, this is an issue that I kind of wish we didn't have to talk about every month, but it really just has become the defining governing issue of this moment in history. And honestly, Susie, it's less about a vaccine than it is about what force of government power should be permitted. And, you know, I don't come to this issue hostily. I've chosen to get the vaccine. I think they're part of the way through the pandemic, but we still need to struggle with what is the appropriate role for the federal government. And I'll maybe just as part of the update, Susie, I'll tell you, I think we've lost our way on this. I mean, the fact that there's even a discussion that a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. could compel someone to inject a substance into their body in order to participate in society, I think it's fairly staggering that we've gotten to that point. But that said, and sort of my bias, you know, kind of put out front there, I do think we got a very good piece of good news from the Supreme Court this month when they ruled 6-3, striking down a mandate that required large employers to require vaccination of their employees. Now, full disclosure, our organization had been litigating against that mandate, and so it's very welcome news to us that they struck it down. And then I think maybe your listener's question is going to go to this point, so I won't get too deep into it. But there was a separate ruling, a ruling that I don't necessarily agree with, but it upheld a vaccination mandate for healthcare workers. Now, we weren't involved in that litigation, and it is a trickier legal question. We can talk about why that is if you want to. But it is having a pretty dramatic impact on our economy and our healthcare system already. But I would just come back to the employer mandate for a second, because I think that was probably the most problematic policy that was out there with the most sweeping ramifications. And I really do think, Susie, that striking it down, regardless of how you feel about the vaccine, I think it was really critically important for preserving our way of government that is rooted in individual liberty.
Amen. And, you know, wherever you land on this issue, and again, I know it's a hot topic, but when people get shunned and vilified and shamed and forced, there's something about that we have to be willing to look at on a deeper level. And if we could just talk for just a moment, we've got a few minutes to break here. But, you know, as believers, I know there are differences on this topic. And I'll say this, because without fail, when we have covered this topic every time, mm-hmm. some appreciate it, others get mad. And some believe the mandate is what will end the pandemic, while others believe that the vaccine isn't all it's cracked up to be and that there are many other ways to bring healing to the body and health back to our communities. So there are valid points on both sides of the conversation. So without vilifying each other, calling each other names, making assumptions, making judgments, rendering verdicts against each other, how do we move forward from here, Than?
Yeah, you know, Susie, I've been thinking a lot about this and how we balance rights and responsibilities. And this is a conversation that we've talked about a lot. And I do think, Susie, that we have often erred. I have too often erred on the side of being too focused on my rights rather than my responsibilities. And when we have a republic like ours that does root liberty in individuals, I do believe that individuals have a very heightened responsibility to make decisions that take into account the impact that they have on others. And you and I have had this conversation. I know that you agree with that. And Susie, I think we owe it to our faith and to our culture to take an honest look in the mirror and see if we have been making decisions rooted first in responsibilities or in just the preservation of our rights. And I think if we collectively will take that introspective look first, I actually think that that is the way out of this. Now, I will say, I do think it's very important for people on all sides of this issue to look at the data and the science with open eyes and being open to learning more as we go along. There are clearly things that we were told from our government and probably our own tribe as well that are just demonstrably not true. And we're seeing a lot of evidence on the side that vaccines have some efficacy and a lot of evidence that natural immunity is a very strong component of pulling out of this as well. But Susie, to your core question, I would ask us to be introspective first. What portion of this debate or any other debate might we need to grow in knowledge and in discernment and a little bit more? If we're introspective first, we can come through this together.
Amen. And in going back to mercy triumphs over judgment, if you feel yourself getting worked up, you know, I've said this on the show so many times, but when my boys were growing up, especially when they were in high school and college, I'd say to them, if you have to let go of love to hang on to your cause, you've lost your way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good word for us even here. If you have to let go of love to hang on to your cause, you've lost your way. And so somehow, some way, as we abide in the vine, that's when we bear much fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. When we come back, this dear listener said, with the Supreme Court's disappointing second decision to continue with healthcare mandates with the healthcare workers, she said, I read the Tennessee governor say that they're looking at their options. What would those options be since the Supreme Court already made the ruling? So that question, and then there was another question about the situation in Ukraine. So we'll have Than comment on those as well. We welcome your questions and comments. We love you and appreciate you and just your grace as we navigate difficult topics. And we have a king, and he's returning. And we want him to find a pure and spotless bride full of love, faith, and hope. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live, talking to our good friend Than Bennett, who joins us every month for Faith Perspective from the Hill. And as always, we're tackling topics that, you know, can be lightning rods for some, but we're trying to do so with humility and love and grace because we don't want to shy away from hard topics. We've been talking about the vaccine, the Supreme Court decision on the mandate. So companies with 100 employees and over, that's not considered what's the word I'm looking for, Than? I just had a blank. So it didn't go through. That's what I want to say, right?
Yeah,
give me the verbiage. Yes.
The legal version is that it was stayed, but it essentially was struck down, Susie.
Yeah. Okay. And then, but not so for healthcare workers. And so this dear listener said, with the Supreme Court's disappointing second decision to continue with mandates for healthcare workers, I read a Tennessee governor say they're looking at their options. What options would there be since the Supreme Court already made the ruling?
Yeah, great question, Susie. This is the kind of question that we need to be asking in situations like this. I agree with the listener, just for starters, that this ruling probably wasn't the right one because of other reasons. But this was a much harder mandate to strike down. And here's why, Susie. Any healthcare facility that takes Medicare dollars or Medicaid dollars, which is basically every healthcare facility in the country, they all sign agreements to follow federal guidance. When you get federal dollars, Susie, they come with strings attached. That's just the way that it is. And the reason I like this caller's question is because we should be asking that question. Is it a good idea to have the federal government so deeply entrenched in every industry that they can dictate the minutia of everyday life, like I think these vaccine mandates are doing? And Susie, it's why I've consistently argued for limited government. I think there are probably a lot of us that say we want limited government, but then our actions suggest that we actually want a robust government, as long as it's a robust government that we like, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably a dangerous idea because it still cedes a lot of control to the federal government. So to drill down to the question that they're asking, what options would they have in Tennessee or any other state for a healthcare facility to shed those strings? Susie, it might involve needing to start to roll back some of the federal dollars that they take. Now, I will tell you, don't get your expectations up too high at this point, because those dollars are probably inextricably linked and rooted inside that industry. That's a very difficult thing to do. But over time, Susie, I do think we should get the government out of many industries, not just this one, and that would actually give more freedom to some of these facilities to set policies that are right for them.
Mm. This listener says, I requested medical exemption and lost my job because there were no accommodations. Not sure if I'll find another job in healthcare. And boy, that's so sad that there's so many who love their job, who are well-educated, who got into healthcare to help people, but have legitimate reasons as to why they don't want to go for the vax. And it's like, you know, what I've heard from a number of healthcare workers has said, we were on the front lines caring for COVID patients for a year and a half before this thing came out. And suddenly now we're being threatened with our jobs. That's just so painful, you know. And I think there's so much hope. Like, that's the only way to get rid of this thing. So that's just a sad thing.
Yes, I think it's wrong, Susie. I mean, honestly, we asked their service when the danger was at its height, and now that it is ebbing some, regardless of how you feel about it, to have them walk away. And by the way, maybe I'll take a step back. It's a really bad time for both our economy and our healthcare system for us to lose a measurable percent of the workforce in that very sacrificial field, right? People that show up to work in the face of risk to serve us. And so, you know, look, even for those who think that a healthcare mandate might be prudent, not necessarily a position I agree with, but even if you think it's prudent, there's got to be a better way to do it than losing a big portion of the workforce and also for our economy to feel that impact. And I think we ought to be exploring those other options.
Mm-hmm. Another person said, we're so short of staff here in healthcare, kind of shooting ourselves in the foot here. You know, I want to reference your book, My Fame, His Fame, which came out before all of this came down in our nation. You said, if our eyes are on the world around us, the weight of our fallen nature will encumber us. Hear that again, friends. If our eyes are on the world around us, the weight of our fallen nature will encumber us. But if we are able to look over and to set our eyes on the eternal, I love that, the weight of our God's fame will begin to overwhelm that fallen nature that surrounds us. I want you to hear it again. But if we're able to look over and to set our eyes on the eternal, look up and look over it, the weight of our God's fame will begin to overwhelm that fallen nature that surrounds us. Just unpack that a bit more, because, again, you wrote that a few years ago when you were writing the manuscript, but it's so true, more true even right now.
I think more true every day, Susie. And honestly, this is a perfect week to talk about it, because that phrase looking over is actually a reference to a speech from Martin Luther King Jr. who celebrated Martin Luther King Jr. Day this week. And Dr. King was a very interesting study on this point. I mean, he was brilliant. He was controversial. He was unorthodox. But he also had transcendent vision, Susie, and not just on civil rights, but also in matters of faith. And when he gave this speech, he actually gave it the day before he was assassinated. Some people call it the mountaintop speech. But when you read or listen to the whole thing, it's just dripping with premonition that his life was but a vapor. And he was determined, Susie, to live his life for a cause that he felt had been entrusted to him by God. And he said in the speech, he said, you know, a long life is attractive to me, but I'm probably not going to get it. And that doesn't concern me anymore. I'm not concerned about that because I've been to the mountaintop. And here comes the phrase. He says, I've looked over and my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And Susie, I would just tell you, if any of your listeners out there haven't watched that speech, haven't listened to that speech, I would really encourage them to pull them up. And if they can watch it without being moved, they just might not have a pulse. But look, this is the goal for all of us, that our eyes would be so fixed on what we see when we look over into eternity, and that in turn would give us a laser focus on what we've been called to on this side of that mountaintop. It's a focus on the eternal that actually makes us impactful here on this side of eternity, Susie.
And friend, that is why we get out of bed every day and do what we do, is if we can help just, you know, lovingly grab your chin, you grab my chin, and we tilt upwards so we can look above and over it. Because, you know, this is just true. Every trial, every triumph, every treasure, not to alliterate so much, but all everything that we face has eternal consequences as far as the ripple effect of how are we going to steward the blessings? How are we going to steward the trials? And what's so sad for me is when it feels like the gloves can come off because my way is the only way. And that as you, the reason I asked you at the open of the show, like, what's the feeling in D.C.? And you just said it has been for years, a sense of kind of standoff where the one side doesn't want to help the other and vice versa. That has infiltrated the church. And, oh, what would happen if we could get on our faces before God to say, have mercy, O Lord, and may he revive our hearts again. That's why I love what your church is doing right now, praying for revival. I mean, I would love for you just even to cast a vision of what might happen if you get your prayers answered, if National Community Church gets their prayers answered. What do you see happening?
Oh, man, Susie, that question makes my heart full, and it makes my heart full, you know, honestly, because of the verse that we started with. I believe with all of my heart, Susie, that God is up to something in and through his people. I also believe that God will use our country. I think his blessing has been on our country. I think there's a foundation there that is morally sound, and we can return to it, and we can be a force for good. But Susie, mainly he's going to do something in and through his people. Again, I said it earlier in the broadcast, Washington, D.C. will never lead us out of it. Whoever your preferred candidate is, whoever your preferred party is, whatever your preferred policy is, that won't lead us out of this situation. It's God through his people, through his church, that will pull us through it. And so, Susie, if we go back to why we can be led forth in joy, why we can walk in peace, Susie, it's because of who he is. And the fact that he resides in us, that's what lets us go out with joy. That's what lets us lead with peace. And Susie, it's even well beyond that. That's what brings his power into our culture. It's not the government. It's the fact that his people are alive and well, and his fame is alive through us.
Lord, help us reflect, you know, we're image bearers. Help us reflect your image to a world in need. And well, let's talk about the March for Life coming up this Saturday.
Yeah, this is a great update, Susie. This Saturday, January 22nd, it will mark 49 years since the decision in Roe v. Wade back in 1973, which, you know, it laid the groundwork for a dramatic expansion of abortion in America. Susie, I do think that this is going to be the last anniversary where Roe is the governing, controlling law of the land. I think there's a case that's going to be decided in June. It's called the Dobbs case. And I think it's going to overturn Roe v. Wade. We'll see.
Wow.
I really do, Susie. I really think legally that's what's going to happen. But you and I have talked about this a lot. I think that's an important question. But I think the portion of this debate that all of us should be spending the most time and energy and resources on is the practical portion. Because if my hope happens, Susie, and if the court does turn regulation of abortion and abortion safety back over to the states, I think that's going to result in more babies being born. And that will be a tremendous opportunity for us Jesus followers to be his hands and feet and to meet people in challenging circumstances. And so, you know, the update is that The anniversary is this weekend. The court will likely decide in June. But Susie, I think we should be taking inventory now. What do we have in our toolkit? What do we have in the space of our lives to contribute a solution to this problem, especially if the opportunity to engage it is about to get larger?
Wow. And that's the thing. Rather than, again, arguing about the ways we disagree and arguing for our cause, if we start to sow seeds, you know, whether you're an intercessor, maybe you're a financial supporter, or maybe you can do what Dan and Brooke do, and where you how, do you call that emergency infant care, or what? How or foster care, or how, what do you call that?
It's like foster care, Susie. They call it interim care. We care for newborns from the hospital till they're placed with an adoptive family. Yeah,
that's amazing. What an amazing thing to do. And he lives on a farm, just saying. Kind of cool. But, you know, I was thinking about some of the times that our world has known, even, you know, when Jesus came. And I'm sure there was a point where the disciples were wondering, when are you going to overthrow Rome? You know, this oppression, this injustice. And you think of Hitler's Germany. You think of the Rwandan genocide. You know, you think of, you know, the fight against slavery in our own nation. I mean, our world has known perilous times. And it got me thinking about, you know, why we need God's timeless, active, powerful word. And your pastor, our good friend Mark Batterson, always says, if you want a word from God, you need to get into the word of God. And in your book, My Fame, His Fame, you explore how Habakkuk positioned himself not only to boldly appeal to God, but he positioned himself to hear and see God, to not only hear what he says, but see what he does. I want you to say a word and how that applies to us in our day, because just more than anything, Than, I want us all, you know, where we're, search me, God, and know my heart, point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me in the everlasting way so that I can be positioned, so that there's purity in my heart and power in my prayers. I mean, that's where we need to be, is on our knees. You know, I think at least let's start there, but what say you?
Yeah, it's such a good, it's the right question. I would put it that way, Susie. You know, I wrote about Habakkuk because I felt so many parallels between what he was feeling in his spirit and what I felt in my spirit about the culture and the day and age in which we live. He basically looked around him, Susie, and got mad at God. He said, "Where are you, God? You know, the wicked are triumphing over the righteous. Injustice is defeating justice on down the line. Where are you? When are you going to step in and do something about it?" And just to sort of summarize the back and forth that God and Habakkuk have, it basically boils down to the fact that God tells him, Habakkuk, I've been ready. I've got the antidote for this, but the antidote is in you. That's why I created you. I need you to be the vessel for my fame and my power to go into the world, to go into the culture, and not to be the solution yourself, but to be the vessel by which I heal the land. And Susie, near the end of the book, it's Habakkuk 3:2, when Habakkuk finally grasps this, the prayer that he prays, acknowledging that he's finally ready to take up that mantle, here's what he says. He says, "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord." And here's the petition. Here's the petition I have for us today as well, Susie. Repeat them in our day. Amen. In our time, make them known. Yes. In wrath, remember mercy. And Susie, I would boil it down to three words. Do it again.
Wow. Wow. And so as we go to break here, let's pray, friends, each of us, to say, Lord, how can I be a conduit to healing in the world today? How can I be a conduit of your hands and feet, each of us doing our part? And Lord, purify our hearts so that when I see someone who thinks differently than me, I see someone who bears the image of God. And imagine the disciples. They disagreed about a lot of things, but they followed Jesus, and he transformed them as they went. May he transform us as we go. We'll be back in a minute. To let that play out. Maybe you needed to hear that today. The whole world is in his hands. It's going to be all right. if we can take a deep breath, if we can stay present in the moment, the enemy wants us so much. He wants us to take our past hurts and fears and project them into a future that God's not in. If we think, oh, if God allowed this, how much worse awaits us? And we imagine a future that God's not in. But you know what? No such scenario exists for the life of the believer. There is no future day or moment or trial or even blessing that God's not in. He's not going anywhere. He's with us, and he's going to get us safely home. We can trust him. So let's walk in love and hope and faith as we do. I'm talking to Than Bennett. He's our good friend. He joins us every month to give us a perspective from the Hill. He works in the epicenter of politics. But this last segment, Than, I'm going to throw you a curveball. I've never done this before, but you land on your feet so well that I pulled out some scripture, and I'm going to give them to you one at a time and just have you just speak to it, whatever comes to mind, and you can send me a nasty note later if you, because I didn't give you any kind of warning that we're doing this. So.
Love it.
Are you ready? Okay.
I'm ready.
Here's the first one. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. What comes to mind?
Oh, man, Susie, that's so beautiful. That fits right into the rights and responsibilities conversation that we already had today. I don't desire, Susie, to live a life that the limits of my impact end at the limits of my ability, right? And the only way I bust out of those limits is if I turn my life over to Christ, if it's crucified in him, if I follow his spirit. And then, Susie, the impact of my life, it's limitless because I've turned it over to him. I've crucified it to him. And then it's him that gets the glory. It's him that gets the credit. And maybe most importantly, Susie, it's him that eliminates the limits. So that is, wow. That is just right in the core of what I want my life to be.
Beautiful. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. What do you say?
Chosen people and a royal priesthood. I actually wrote about this in one of the books. I actually don't remember which one now, Susie, but a priesthood exists to help people be ushered into the presence of God. And again, that's one of the pivotal roles, one of the main fundamental roles that we as followers of Jesus Christ are called to serve. And so, again, I think that is what his church needs to be. And I don't want to offend here, but I do want to be bold. I think we've got some ground to make up on this, Susie. I think we need to have eyes that face out towards our neighbors a little bit more and look to serve and look to lay down our lives and don't look to put ourselves forward first. And so we are a chosen people. We are set apart. But we're set apart to be a priesthood that serves God and also ushers others into his presence.
You know, I think we'd be more able to do that if we had a deeper sense of how secure we are in Christ. I often say insecurity, I was the poster child for insecurity. I'm just saying it not only can be another form of selfishness, but it's an illusion because when you are in Christ, you're seated with Christ. You can't possibly be more secure. But I think if we're unsure of who we are, and then you encounter someone who maybe is different than you, thinks different, looks different, whatever, suddenly insecurity sets in and we become self-focused versus others focused. But if we were to approach life with this holy confidence and humble dependence going, I can't be more secure. I can't even be more loved. So what's going on with you today? How can I serve you? How can I help you? I just think we would show up, you know, for our neighbor, for the other in such a different way.
You know, Susie, I think one of the things that I am keenly aware of that I wasn't keenly aware of a couple of decades ago is just how expansive his love for me is. And you know, I think a lot of times we think about it in terms of he loves us so much that he sent his son for us, which is certainly true. But Susie, it brings it even more home for me when I think about the fact that he loves me so much that he's actually entangled his reputation and his mission and his entire purpose for all of creation up with me, right? He's using me as the vessel to reach the world that he created. That's how much he loves me. That's how much he values me. And, you know, and to that end, one of the things that he actually whispered to my spirit this week when he and I were having time together, he said, you know, Than, you've learned quite a bit and you've grown in the ability to consecrate high leverage moments, right? When you're going to speak with someone, or you're going to go on the radio, or you're going to go on with Susie, you've consecrated those high leverage moments to me, but not so much the mundane moments. And I'd like those too. Mm-hmm. I'd like those too, because I love you and I want to be a part of your every moment. And so I think it's something that I've grown in, Susie, but as you continue to grow in it, just the moment by moment walking with him, I think that's where the richness and the sweetness of this relationship comes in. And to be very candid with you, I think that's why this month has been so sweet in my interaction with Jesus, because I've been more aware of just how deep that love is for me.
It's so beautiful. Here's another one, Philippians 2, 14 to 15. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Listen to that, friends. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Wow, that is a powerful passage.
You know what comes to mind, Susie? Two things, okay? Number one, oops, I've got some repenting to do. And two, the second thing that comes to mind when it comes to grumbling and complaining is our lovely, beautiful dog named Wrigley, who is constantly the cause of me coming up short when it comes with patience. She is full of energy, and she will raise my ire quickly than just about anything else. So I need a little bit more of that.
I love that. And I want you to hear this again, friends, and maybe this will resonate. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. So God knew that we were going to be living in a warped and crooked generation. And when we start to, when we, again, focus on our hearts, you know, guarding our hearts, walking in a purity, we will shine like stars in the sky amidst the darkness. I just think that is so powerful. Okay, here's another one. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it's written, be holy because I am holy. You've touched on that, but anything else come to mind?
I just think it comes back to the entanglement, Susie. We all do want to be holy. We all want to be consecrated to him. But in order to do that, we have to let him cover our shortcomings. You know, no matter how hard I try, no matter what foot I put forward, no matter if I have my best side showing, Susie, it just falls short. And so in order for me to live up to the potential for which he created, I've got to turn that over to him, and I've got to be covered by his grace. I'm only holy if, when God looks at me, what he actually sees is the covering of his son.
That's beautiful. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here.
What comes to mind there is, if you're a new creation, sometimes you do have to let the old go. And Susie, this is a hard one for me, because God has done some wonderful, beautiful things in my past, more than I can count, to be honest with you. But I do look forward to the future, and I know he has new things that he wants to do in and through me in the future. And Susie, sometimes that means letting go of some old things. And so that's a difficult thing to grow in. I will confess that.
Yeah, for all of us. And Than, boy, the time has gone by so fast, and you're always such a gracious guest. I just want to say thank you with my whole heart for how you steward really an incredible, challenging job and ministry. And thank you for giving us your time today.
Thank you, Susie. We love you.
Love and appreciate you. And friends, we'll keep the drawing open for a little bit longer. We've got copies of both In Search of the King and My Fame, His Fame. And I endorsed My Fame, His Fame. I can't say enough about it. And The Search of a King is great as well. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. I got to give a shout out to Hannah Bean and Shelley listening in from Georgia. You guys are adorable. They sent a picture of themselves, and they're so cute. Thanks for tuning in today. I pray you found some encouragement here. We just considered our great honor to serve you and serve the Lord together. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.